This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, here we go. Here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who is not taking heat in the press today. Dig this, the patron saint of press coverage, Barack Obama, catching some flack for not condemning the protests at his alma mater, Columbia.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
Wow, you don't get a lot of this. They don't normally criticize Buckingham Palace because they don't want to lose access to the Queen. And make no mistake about it, Obama is the queen of all liberal media.
Tell it like it is.
We'll get into that. Some ongoing footage from the protests. Biden spoke at the White House moments ago.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did, and we will update you on all of it, as well as Trump heading back downtown to the courthouse today. We're waiting for the judge to rule on a gag order. There are some saying that his latest Truth Social post violated said gag order.
It was made up by these sick people.
We don't know what that will actually constitute one way or the other, but we will be following it live. And we'll take your calls, text, tweets, carrier pigeons, 888-788-9910. You know the rule on this show. We say it every day to the point of exhaustion. You can sing along at home, in the car, in the cubicle at work. I mean, if you're listening to this show regularly, probably the meth lab. But the point is, you could be a Republican, you could be a Democrat, you could be a Libertarian, you could be an Independent. Just don't be a That is all. A good old-fashioned American talk show. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Champ is in a pretty good mood, despite the world-on-fire scenario we find ourselves in. We're going to discuss that today with Emily Campagno, Human Happy Hour, co-host of Outnumbered, Florida Representative Greg Stube. Will be here a little bit later in the hour, a little bit later in this hour. You know, I always tell you I own a politics to English dictionary. OK, a little bit later in the hour, I am going to give you some insight. Maybe, you know, maybe like a sign, if you will, that the people in Washington are just starting to listen ever so slightly. To the fact that everybody, and I mean everybody, says Washington is fighting the wrong battles. Okay, I'll give you just a little insight into that politics to English dictionary. And at the end of the show today, this is crazy, okay, because I don't like to do this. You know, it's not a very organized show. If you listen to the show, pretty much, you know, 90% of the show is you being Dean Wormer and just shaking your head at me and going,
fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Okay, but at the end, by the end of this show, okay, we're going to have a talk about where we are in the election and how we know, and this is fascinating to me, but I spent all day watching. I actually prepared for the show today, which is not good. Okay, but where we are in the election right now, and specifically where we're about to go. Like, I have a theory, and it just cooked up in my brain. I was driving in today on the Long Island Expressway, getting cut off and shot at. You know the way you do. You know, you don't drive the Long Island Expressway for any other reason than to find out what you're made of. You know, half of the people on the road at the hour I come in learn to drive in like a recent coup attempt in another country. And it's pretty psychotic out there when you get on the road in the morning.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband because they're raping everybody out
here. But it made sense to me as I was sitting there in the battlefield that the way they try to manipulate sentiment nationally. Like, remember the summer 2020? They were like, well, the whole country's racist. The whole freaking, that's what they told us the whole summer of 2020.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Maybe, okay, but they had a plan as to where to take us, okay? I can see the plan forming, and I'm going to work my way to this hypothesis today and battle test it over the course of a few calls and a couple of guests, because believe it or not, I do think before I open my mouth on this show.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
No, you'll see. You will see. But again, 888-788-9910 if you want to jump in the meantime. Here's the Obama story. I'll open with this. We won't spend a lot of time on it, but I found it so fascinating. Some prominent alumni up at Columbia are aghast, just aghast by the anti-Semitism they're seeing out of these 10 cities. Okay, one of which happens to be Robert Kraft. He owns the New England Patriots. You know, Robert Kraft won a lot of Super Bowl rings, 6 Super Bowl rings to be exact. But if you want to get technical, he's had 7 happy endings.
Oh, yes, I've read about that in the Bible.
Well, stick with me, though. Robert Kraft announcing he wasn't going to donate anymore. Dan Abrams, who's another media personality who makes the rounds, also saying, like, I can't believe this. As a former Columbia alum, I can't believe this is happening at a school. I'm ashamed of what I'm seeing at my school. And the truth is, if you are a decent person, okay, who's just talking about this in terms of, like, you know, right and wrong, okay, there's no way not to condemn what's going on at Columbia.
Correctamundo.
Just the same as there'd be no way to condemn what's going on at Harvard or Yale. Maybe if they're doing something down at Princeton, which is what we're hearing. Okay, there are people on the quad calling for the elimination of all Jewish people. Okay, that's not acceptable. Like, we talked about this yesterday. Do you know when you're like with a toddler and 2 kids are playing, one of them hits the other and you go, hey, we don't hit. You know, or they're, you know, playing, tackling each other, one of them bites the other 2-year-old. You're like, hey, we don't bite. Okay, I can't believe I'm saying this, but apparently we also have to grab them and be like, hey, we don't chant death to all the Jewish people. But apparently that seminar was missed. Okay, because there are people openly advocating for the destruction of Israel. Okay, that's not good. As a comic, you can't imagine how jarring this moment is to me. I mean, I get it. These people are full of it. But understand, comics were banned from places like Columbia because they were like, speech is violence. And if you make people laugh, they're going to go out and kill people. That's what they told us.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've heard of.
Of course it is. But that's what they did to censor viewpoints they didn't agree with. Remember, every single college that preaches diversity does not champion diversity of thought.
He knows what he's talking about.
Okay, give me any skin color you can, but give me one ideology all the way to the bank. That's how these campuses work. So it's so fascinating to hear them tell me speech is violent, so don't come tell your jokes. Now, if you'll excuse us, we've got to go to the Death to Israel rally. Okay, but that's the moment we're living in.
What the hell is the world coming to?
But then you say to yourself, hey, how come like a guy like Obama, who went to Columbia, who wrote in his book about living on the Upper West Side, maybe right up there on 109th Street where he did, okay, right down the block from the campus, how come a guy who was on that campus, who is, you know, the race warrior, you know, the guy who is the patron saint of identity politics, he's the reason we have them, is because rather than using the election of our first black president as a moment to realize how much progress we had made on race, the Democrats used it to take us all the way backwards by characterizing every single policy disagreement as, well, what's so different about this president that the Republicans don't want to support the type of health care bill they never supported once in their life? What could it be? You know, oh, Obama's given $50 billion to the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. I wonder what's so different about Obama that the Republicans don't want to give the people who want to kill us a bunch of money. Okay, and it was absurd on its face.
Democrats just call everyone racist so they go along with their stupid ideas.
Okay, but you understand, at the end of the day, they're not concerned about eradicating racism. They're not concerned about equality or decorum or anything in between. What they're concerned about is leveraging racism when it helps them out.
You are correct, sir.
They don't want it to go away. It's like a lot of other problems. They want to run on them. They don't want to solve them. Okay, the reality for racism in this country is that it has gone away. I'm not saying there aren't racist people out there. There are racist people in every race towards other races. But in terms of the progress we've made as a society, 99.9% of this country is like so far beyond race because we're integrated now. Racism was a byproduct of ignorance. People feared and hated things they didn't understand. Okay. Now that we are a fully integrated society, we realize we all want the same things in life. People want to get paid. People want to get laid.
I love it when you talk dirty.
Okay. Make a couple of bucks, eat some good food, have some good times. That's all we want as a people. Okay. You want to worship whatever God you do. You want to keep your family safe. None of that is exclusive to any particular race. Nobody. But understand what's going on up at Columbia, by definition, is the actual racism that we fought a war to end in Germany. Okay, the actual racism that we fought a civil war to end here. Okay, that we had a civil rights movement to get past in the aftermath of that war when the Democrats were running the Jim Crow South. Okay, we went and fought battles and protested. Okay, people went to jail. People got killed to get past a time when anyone would feel safe in public calling for the elimination of another race of people. We did the work to get past it. But all of the people who told us we weren't past it yet are now the ones out there reenacting it. So it turns out they were being honest when the Democrats said, no, you understand, America's racist. You guys don't get it. It turns out they were being honest, okay? But what they failed to mention is that they were the racists. So you understand, though, okay? Here is Dan Abrams. I'll give you this clip. Dan Abrams over at News Nation. Here it is, clip 10.
As a graduate of Columbia University Law School, I am ashamed, I'm embarrassed by what I'm seeing on that campus and now other campuses, right? I wholeheartedly support the arrest of the students, professors, and outside agitators preventing everyone else from attending classes, right? I'm not talking about protests. I'm talking about encampments. I'm talking about preventing people from going to class. Today was day 7 of the anti-Israel protests on the Columbia campus. More than 100 students and agitators have been arrested there.
So understand this. Okay, they have canceled school for the rest of the spring because the environment is not safe for students, specifically Jewish students, to be on campus. Okay, there's no school. They're going to do this remotely for $80,000 a semester because there is no safety on the campus. Okay, that there is an acknowledgement by the school that this is not a peaceful protest.
I think he's got a point.
When was the last time a protest was so peaceful, everybody was ordered to stay in the house for their safety? Do you get it? But Obama's not speaking out against this. Why is he not speaking out against this? Because anti-Semitism is a huge constituency of the Democrats' chance to take back or keep the White House in 2024. Okay, in a lot of the key swing states like Michigan, okay, they've got rabid anti-Semitism in places like Dearborn, Michigan. Obama knows that, can't go out and condemn these protesters. In New York, okay, where things are trending negative. I mean, in the last 4 years in New York, the most popular restaurant chain has become a place called This Space for Rent. Okay, they're not doing good here. Okay, businesses are fleeing, people are fleeing, tax revenue is fleeing. Okay, there is a groundswell for Republican candidates in New York right now. Does it mean Trump's going to win New York? I don't know that to be the case, but it's definitely going to be something he spends more time campaigning in, if for no other reason than for how bad the Democrats have crushed the quality of life here. Do you understand, in theory, if you're concerned about racism, concerned about equality, yes, you would say, hey, Columbia kids, I went there. We're better than this. Don't say you want to kill all the Jewish people. But they can't say that because they're so scared the Columbia people will be like, well, screw you. Then we're not voting for Biden. So instead, Obama, the champion of race and harmony and everything in between, shuts his mouth.
This is politics as usual.
Totally. But understand, would he be shutting his mouth if the kids at Columbia were talking about any other race but the Jews?
The answer would be no.
Here is an MSNBC clip. Okay, Scott Galloway is an NYU professor down at NYU. Very, very liberal school. Okay, and he's flat out acknowledging the double standard here when it comes to hate speech. Here it is, clip 6.
And I do think there is a double standard. I walked by NYU last night. What I saw was peaceful protest. But I can tell you, if I went into the NYU square with a white hood on and said, lynch the blacks or burn the gays, my ID would be shut off by that night. And I would never work in academia again. There would be no need for the words context or nuance. I wouldn't be protected by terms like First Amendment or free speech. I would be out of the world of academia. It seems like we have a double standard when it comes to hate speech, as long as it's against Jews.
I admire your honesty.
Because he's telling you the truth, okay? There's nobody that can keep their job in polite society if they went out tonight and started chanting for the death of an entire race of people, specifically not the races that Obama and the Democrats have used to divide us for the better part of the last decade. But that's the teachable moment we find ourselves in right now, okay? These guys don't care, and you need to know that. And the reason I like to get on the radio and tell everybody, be cool, you know, it's Samuel Jackson in Pulp Fiction. Say, be cool, bitch. You know, yo, you tell that to be cool. Okay, the reason I do that every day is because I want you to realize, like, these people don't actually care. Okay, they'll inflame racial tensions whenever they can if it suits them politically. Okay, but if it's actually being done to the detriment of their political fortunes, they ain't saying a thing. Okay, because that's who they are. Obama issued a Passover post on social media on Monday. Did he mention what's going on at these campuses?
The answer would be no.
No. The tens of thousands of people clogging bridges in liberal cities like New York and San Francisco. Anything out of Obama on that?
The answer would be no.
No. Okay. The only thing he's really passing over is an opportunity to do the right thing.
And I'm out here in the real world and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
Critics are calling it the show of the year.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
There it is, Jimmy Failla doing the dang thing at 888-788-9910. Emily Campagna's coming up. Brian Brenberg's coming up. I've got a sign. We'll get to in the next break. Talk about insider trading information that the elites are sort of kind of starting to listen to the Americans who are sick of. I mean, I'd love to say we were second fiddle, but we're not making a medal podium under this administration right now. We are not on the medal podium.
Welcome to the Biden administration, home to the new slogan, America Last.
And as I continue to battle test my hypothesis that I formed this morning in traffic, we will close the show, the third hour of this very broadcast, with my attempt to battle test a true hypothesis about the world. It's not often this stuff happens to me. Like when I was a cab driver, I would drive around in an empty taxi all day. That was a thing. You know, you pick about 40, 50 people up a day, but you spend just as much time with nobody in the cab, whether you're driving back from the airport or, you know, the drug deal you were just fleeing on the Upper West Side, where, you know, guy gets out of your car, gets mowed down. You're like, well, I guess I don't need to be picking anybody up. I should probably just get out of here. But the point is, you spend a lot of that time, you know, driving around looking for your next fare and just, you know, questioning every decision you've made in life up until that moment. And one of my favorite things about it is those introspective moments you spend alone in a cab will often, you know, be an opportunity to revisit some of the conversations you had earlier with fares that you picked up that day. And sometimes they do lead to a hypothesis. And you wind up sharing that hypothesis with the next guy who got into the cab, who then looks at you and goes,
have you ever had a checkup?
So at the end of this ride today, I'll share a hypothesis at the end. That way, if you need to get out of the cab, you can, because the show will be over. But don't go anywhere, because when we come back, some actual media reaction, a random act of journalism, as the late, great Rush Limbaugh used to say, we will share it with you after this on Fox Across America. There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. You can always tell I hate the news cycle by how long I'm letting the intro music play. I'm in a good mood. Very grateful for this job. It's honestly the highest honor to be talking to people around the world, you know, certainly around this glorious country as well, and be what I try to describe myself as, which is a, you know, conversational port in the storm. There's a lot of craziness out there in politics. Nobody's really having civil conversations anymore. You know, one guy shows up and he's like, close the border. And the other guy's like,
somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
So I'm trying to be that place where you can tactfully disagree. And I do enjoy doing this. But this news cycle, it is really has been disgusting. And most people who work in media, as you know, are activists masquerading as journalists. So they're always trying to frame what's going on in the news in a way that will reflect most favorably on their preferred party. Now, everybody knows the people protesting up at Columbia are liberal, okay, overwhelmingly liberal, like 99.9% liberal. They're anti-Semitic. Okay, we have actual sitting members of Congress who hate the Jewish race of people. Okay, Ilhan Omar, people like Rashida Tlaib. Okay, they're out there participating in protests like this, and they don't want to condemn them because a significant part of their voter base hates Jewish people. That's just a disgusting reality. Now, some anchors that work in the news, like I said, are just trying to frame these stories in a way that will reflect well on their preferred party. I played you a Joy Reid clip yesterday. Let me quickly play you one more. So Joy Reid, yesterday on MSNBC, okay, as the rest of us around the world are looking at signs that call for the elimination of Jews, for another intifada, for more dead soldiers, as Jewish students are being denied entrance to campuses, as the University of Columbia now said, nobody's safe, we can't have school anymore because everyone's threatening to kill the Jews, here's Joy Reid pretending there's nothing to see here. Clip 15.
I saw, Mark, these students singing and singing about peace and singing salam, you know, singing words of peace. So it just didn't square with what I was even hearing on television and television commentators saying was shrieking anti-Semitism. I didn't hear it.
I mean, good gosh.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I didn't hear it because, you know, I was too busy yelling like Trump's a racist or something. I didn't hear it. I mean, I didn't have the volume on because I wouldn't want to have to report what I heard. But what's happening right now, and I kind of teased this before we went to break. Look at the fundamentals on Jumbo today. Just doing good old-fashioned radio. A random act of journalism. Rush Limbaugh from time to time used to salute someone in the media. He'd call them the drive-bys, who actually demonstrated some intellectual curiosity. Okay, we're not quite there with what I'm about to play for you. But what I've noticed, okay, and understand this to be true, is a sign that the media, or at least the liberal outlets like MSNBC and CNN, are listening, okay, to the outrage at how these protests have been unfolding. Listening to the outrage about how, like, the border has been playing out. Listening to the outrage about all the money we send overseas while we spend nothing to defend our own homeland, okay? What these anchors are starting to do is they're still, you know, they're going down with the ship. They're not abandoning the Democratic Party, and heaven forbid they criticize the Democratic Party. Are you kidding me? Joe Scarborough, if you remember, threw down and said, I'm tired of people who don't get how sharp Joe Biden is.
That was embarrassing.
Oh, it was so embarrassing. Do you remember that? Frankly, you're too stupid to know if you're better off now than you were 4 years ago.
This guy's a serious ass.
Okay, so they're not going to abandon, okay, their playbook. But what they're now starting to do is something they would not have done a year ago. They would not have done 2 years ago, heaven forbid 3 or 4 years ago, even during the Trump administration. They're allowing guests onto the air, if only for a fleeting moment, that will acknowledge reality. Okay, they understand no one can take them seriously. If you're going to trot out Joy Reid every night to tell you the whole country's racist, and then when the death to the Jews Democrats show up, pretend it didn't happen, you realize most people look at your network and they say, clown stuff. So what they need over at MSNBC, what they need over at CNN is they need to reclaim some credibility. So they're booking guests. I played you the Scott Galloway clip earlier. He's the MSNBC professor who called out the double standard on protests. That was over at MSNBC. Well, CNN last night. Okay, here is Jared Moskowitz. He is a Democrat from Florida. Okay, this is the unthinkable. A Democrat on the air at CNN criticizing what other Democrats are doing. I got to be honest. Everybody who hears this should run out and play lotto. Because they don't do this at CNN.
CNN is the worst.
But their hand has been forced. Okay, and understand, they're going to go back to shilling for the Democratic nominee when we get into the home stretch of the election, just the same as they're, you know, showing 24-hour-a-day Trump trial coverage right now. They are still activists masquerading as journalists, but they understand to have any semblance of dignity, at some point they need someone on the air to acknowledge reality. Now, their anchors aren't going to do that. Their talent doesn't want to do that. Okay, so what they do is they squeeze in between commercial breaks and still photos of Trump. Did he sniffle? Did he readjust a hair on his head? Let's bring in a body expert, body language expert. Because if he adjusted a hair on his head, I mean, that could give us an indication of how he thinks the trial is going. When we come back, we'll take you all the way inside the Trump psyche based on how he sipped his soda during the last witness testimony.
People aren't buying it, CNN, you dumb bastard.
So that's still the playbook. That's still what they're doing. Okay, but they want store credit for at least acknowledging reality in fleeting moments. So here's somebody like Jared Moskowitz, who, to his credit, was able to say the truth. To their credit, was able to say the truth. Are they going to brook him back on the show anytime soon?
The answer would be no.
No, is he kidding me? Unless it's on another subject. But here it is. Let's start. This is Moskowitz equating Columbia University with Charlottesville. Now, if you remember, in Charlottesville, North Carolina, there were guys that were down there in Virginia, Charlottesville, Virginia. We should give you an accurate show today. We'll try something different. But down in Charlottesville, Virginia, okay, there were Antifa protesters with helmets and bats given to violence across the country. That's their MO. If somebody has a viewpoint they don't like, they show up and try to beat the hell out of them. Okay, they fashion themselves as anti-fascism, but by definition, what they're doing is the very fascist behavior they claim to detest.
I think he's got a point.
Of course, yeah. And the point is, they're all full of but understand, the Antifa squad was down there because there were people who were there to protest the removal of Confederate monuments. They wanted those monuments to stay. They agreed with Abraham Lincoln, you know, the guy who ended slavery. A lot of the monuments that were constructed in the South, okay, similar to the Reconciliation Monument that used to be in Arlington National Cemetery. That was removed over the summer, sadly. But that was a monument built in the aftermath of the Civil War to acknowledge that there was a dignity in defeat, to acknowledge that, yes, a lot of people died. Yes, these wounds were very raw emotionally, but people fought for things they believed in or philosophical differences they had. And regardless of right or wrong, if we're still going to be one country, we're going to have to acknowledge both sides of the divide. And that's why those monuments were erected. They were erected, okay, to acknowledge the loss on the losing side of that war. But 200 years later, we decided they had to come down because it was proof that we were all racist today. You don't understand. You can't have this Trump guy in office. He practically built the statues.
The left weaponizes race whenever they're losing an argument.
So understand, the battle around statues has always been absurd, okay, because people did not have our values 200 years ago because we didn't have them. Okay, I say this all the time. When you start tearing down monuments to dead presidents, okay, yeah, they don't have our values, but they're the reason we do. They were not on our level in terms of how far society has come since their day, but they're the reason society came that far. They were the best people we had at the time to move the American conversation forward. That's why you recognize former presidents. That's why you recognize historic figures. You might not love all of their values. Okay, I don't. But you understand, given the actual crop of human beings on the planet at the time, they were the best. Okay? And now understand, when this fight breaks out in Charlottesville, it's over the Confederacy and everything in between. It's not good. Okay? And I don't get behind any of this. But if you understand, what the Democrats did is they complained that Trump said there were fine people on both sides, but he never condemned the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists.
And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally.
So as it turns out, they were lying when they said he didn't condemn the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists.
The media is a bunch of losers.
Of course. But the media is not calling out Columbia and Charlottesville as one and the same. But Jared Moskowitz, in what I'm calling a random act of journalism, was allowed onto CNN. Now, was CNN doing any actual journalism? No, they're not reporting this. They're not making this statement. But at least they let it happen on the air. Here it is, clip 7.
But for Jews, because we don't fit in this box, even though there's only 15 million of us, in the country, at the end of the day, we're looked at as differently. And that's why universities have struggled with this. Because, yes, while there is protected speech, free speech, hate speech is not protected. And we are well into the realm of hate speech, right? I mean, let's just look at what's happening. We were mad years ago when we saw Charlottesville and Jews will not replace us and Donald Trump saying good people on both sides or Mexicans or rapists, right? But somehow we don't have the same anger of go back to Poland.
Okay, think about that. There is an obvious double standard. Here's the rest of his clip, clip 8.
My grandfather's entire family was killed in Poland. He was the sole survivor. Right. All Zionists should be killed. Bomb Tel Aviv. I know the people saying this aren't, white Aryan males with tiki torches, but they have the same message. These students that are participating in this, and it's not all of them, but the students that are allowing this to go on with the Hamas flags, letting these people onto campus, the professors that are participating in this, it's the same message, which is Jews are not welcome.
Okay, and he's telling you the truth. So to their credit, they let that happen on CNN because they know no objective observer is watching these protests and going, no, this is good. It's peaceful. Guys, again and again and again, you've never been to a protest that was so peaceful they told you to get out of there for your own safety. Okay, that's the type of peaceful protest that's going on up at Columbia. That's the kind of protest that AOC cheered on Monday.
AOC is a dope.
Do you remember that? Nah, these are people, model citizens, peaceful protest. And what did Biden say? He goes, listen to that lady.
Biden is such a disaster.
That's what he said. Listen to that lady. Who's actually cheering on a peaceful protest, I'm using air quotes, that's so peaceful, people aren't allowed out for their own safety. Okay, that's what we're dealing with in this moment. The media knows that. They don't want to report that. They don't want to damage the Democrats' reelection chances. Okay, this polling out today that has Biden losing in all six of the key swing states by significant margins.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
So they understand they've got some uphill ground to make. And yes, they're going to spend the summer calling you and I racist. Okay, yes, we're transphobes, we're homophobes, the patriarchy, white supremacy, end of democracy, all of it. Okay, why? Because it's a lot easier than talking about the economy or the border or foreign policy or the quality of your kids' education, of which there is very little quality when it comes to education right now.
I love the poorly educated.
But you understand, in order to have just any credibility with their audience, they need to acknowledge reality from time to time, because then that little store credit that they claw back can then be spent telling you that Joe Biden is the sharpest guy who's ever lived, a steady hand at the till. We're all better off than we were 4 years ago. It's my favorite argument in the world. They're like, hey, even though you got less money, even though it costs more to go to the gas pump, 50% more, even though you don't feel as safe walking down the streets, even though we had to cancel your kid's school because we needed room for the migrants, okay, even though we're taking all your tax dollars and shipping them halfway around the world, I promise you're better off now. You are better off now than you were 4 years ago.
That is a fact check false.
Okay, and they know that on some level. But they're play actors. It's performance art. They're not real journalists. Okay, they are activists masquerading as journalists. And they need some credibility in order for their activism to still resonate with people. So what they're doing in this moment is they don't really want to condemn the anti-Semitism. They don't really want to attribute it to the Democratic Party. But they'll let people come on from time to time and acknowledge it so their Jewish audience doesn't feel totally abandoned by what's going on. But you know what's fascinating? When this conflict broke out on October 7th, you know who cut a big giant $1 million check to the United Jewish Association. Fox News did, because we support Israel unequivocally. We have not taken any side that said, yeah, but you got to hear Hamas's thing. Okay, think about who Joe Biden is. This is who the Democrats are. Okay, yeah, we condemn the anti-Semitism, but we don't actually condemn it because not everybody understands what's going on in Palestine. Listen to this, clip 14.
Do you condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses?
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
Should the Columbia University president resign?
I didn't know that. Should she resign?
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck.
Okay, Biden condemns the people who don't understand what's going on in Palestine. I condemn the anti-Semitism, but I also condemn the people who don't understand why they're so anti-Semitic. Do you get what's going on here?
That man belongs in a nursing home, not in the White House.
And if they're going to get him reelected over at the CNNs and the MSNBCs of the world, they're going to have to allow for some objective truth from time to time. Are you going to see a lot of it between now and Election Day? But you'll see a little, because they need to.
That is correct.
It's the show that never hits the books.
I love the poorly educated.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. I am heading down to the D.C. swamp this weekend. I'm going to be hosting my TV show, Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Failla, live from the red carpet at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. How about it? Took about a grown-up look for the young TV show. I mean, that's some big boy responsibility right there. But it's going down from 9 p.m. Eastern to 11 p.m. Eastern. This Saturday night, it is me. It is Fox News Saturday night. Biggest names on this channel will be there walking the red carpet in their fancy tuxedos. I'll be interviewing them. We'll be watching the Biden speech. Colin Jost from Saturday Night Live is also headlining the event. That's pretty rad. But of course, the keynote is Joe Biden, the guy in the Oval Office.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
Well, they'll have a teleprompter there to remind him. And hopefully they use a similar dose of drugs to what they used at the State of the Union, but not exactly the same dosage, because they almost killed the guy at the State of the Union. He was like shot out of a cannon. I mean, we've been following this guy for 4 years. He can't put two sentences together. But at the State of the Union, he was like the guy from the old Micro Machines commercials. He was like the sound effect guy, Michael Winslow. Do you remember him?
I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental fitness.
But no, not at the State of the Union. Sharp as a tack. We'll have all of it. We'll have Emily Campagno. And of course, at the very end of the show, my thesis that I formed this morning getting shot off in traffic. Don't miss it.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is. Back in action. Big hour of Fox Across America with your radio buddy Jimmy Failla. We're going to have Emily Campagno in studio. She is the human happy hour. She is a co-host of Outnumbered. She is one of the most brilliant legal minds of our time.
Wrong.
Oh, so that's a cheap shot at Emily, Mr. President. Well, she'll be analyzing his trial, I am sure, as well as the impending ruling from the judge on whether or not Trump violated his gag order. But before we get to any of that, we have to have a grown-up talk about what's going on in the Oval Office.
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
Man, I don't like doing this, but you're welcome to do it with me. 888-788-9910. I opened the show this morning by telling people that I would close the show today with a hypothesis that I formed on my way into the building this morning. You know, you drive in on the Long Island Expressway, people are trying to run you off the road. For real, you know. The Long Island Expressway, people are psychos. It's the only road in America where you could see somebody high-beaming a cop. Speed it up, dude. We don't have all day. You and the ambulance. Come on, step on it. You know, it's nuts. Everybody's nuts. But I'm inching closer to my hypothesis that I will share at the end of the show about this moment we find ourselves in. But batting lead off right now is a take on Biden, and this is a fascinating one, okay? But Biden has been telling this story about Angelo, the train conductor, okay? We've shared it on this show. CNN, of all people, has fact-checked this story on 12 different occasions. The one where Biden gets on and says, oh, you know, I was on Amtrak as vice president. My buddy Angelo came up to me and he was like, hey, Joey, baby. And he goes, and the Secret Service almost shot him. You know, it's a good folksy tale. People laugh. And then he tells a story about how Angelo said to him, Mr. Vice President, you realize you've taken more miles on Amtrak than you have on planes. A million miles on Amtrak. All sounds good and well and folksy. There's only one small problem. The gentleman Angelo he refers to died almost two decades before he became vice president. And this is a story that's been fact-checked by multiple outlets. We actually had a song about it. Do you remember Biden Lies? Biden Lies. We used to play it on the radio all the time when they still let us play songs on the radio before the suits got involved and said, no more songs.
That's just how white folks will do you.
That's legal, stuff like that. We're living in a very litigious society. But understand this. Okay, that claim has been fact-checked a bazillion times because it's absurd. Okay, as is the claim about him driving an 18-wheeler. Now, if you remember, one of the first things that happened during the Biden presidency is I was on the air here. Because I had done a hit on Fox and Friends first with Carly Shimkus and Todd Pyro. Todd Pyro, a guy who does a fantastic job filling in for me sometimes. Oh, stop, you stop it. Pyro's great.
You can't handle the truth.
Whatever. We're moving on. I'm not going to sit here and fight with a control room over Pyro's broadcasting aptitude. The point is, when Biden first got into office, we started to do this segment about all of the ridiculous times he had claimed he drove an 18-wheeler. And the White House had to issue a clarification. Like, well, what the president meant to say is there was a summer where he was in a school bus and...
It's nothing more than white noise coming from the White House.
Totally, because there's just no other way around. It's like the one last week where he said, my uncle got eaten by cannibals. And they were like, well, what he was trying to do was explain his attitude towards veterans versus Trump's attitude towards veterans.
That is a lie.
No, they knew the guy said his uncle got eaten by cannibals and his uncle didn't get eaten by cannibals, which is a really bad look for the president.
That man belongs in a nursing home, not in the White House.
A lot of people feel that way. But yesterday, lo and behold, while Biden was out making the rounds, they shot him up with God knows what. He got in front of a microphone and told the 18-wheeler story again. Here it is. This has been fact-checked a billion times. We used to do a recurring weekly segment on this 3 years ago where I had to come up with explanations for what he meant by I drove an 18-wheeler. We're like, well, maybe he watched an episode of BJ and the Bear. Do you remember that old show, BJ and the Bear, the guy in the truck, he had the chimp? Or maybe when he was a kid, he went in you know those trucks they have outside the supermarket? Your mom puts a quarter in, you can pretend you're riding a horse or flying a spaceship. Maybe he meant that. Maybe he rode shotgun. But the point is, we had to get really creative because we were putting ourselves in the shoes of the White House press team who knew the guy did not drive a actual 18-wheeler.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
So it was like a funny weekly segment we used to do on Fridays at 5 in the morning and just laugh. And then we got to the point that we were like, wow, this guy is making up so much stuff. Nobody's talking about it in the media. And like we just started to feel bad. We're like, God, this is terrible. This poor guy's a mess. Who's letting him be president? Well, lo and behold, here we are. Okay, back to the 18-wheeler story. And again, okay, a guy lying about driving an 18-wheeler isn't going to be as glaring as a guy saying cannibal shot his uncle down and put him in a crock pot. That being said, this is not okay. Listen to this, clip 22.
I tell you what, and by the way, is that right?
The only reason I have a pension is because of you.
Well, we did get that done. Anyway, besides, I used to drive an 18-wheeler.
I used to drive an 18-wheeler.
You're not telling me the truth.
He never drove an 18-wheeler. Never. Not like at an auto show, you know, parallel parked it for his buddy who had to run in and use the bed. Nothing. Okay. Didn't sit in it. while his buddy was in the back with a lot lizard or some, you know, God knows what Michael's doing at these truck stops out there. Kidding, Michael's a fine man, and he's got a lovely wife, which go figure. But stick with me, okay? That was a flat-out lie, okay? Another lie he told yesterday, and I'll give you a juxtaposition, is I'll give you a clip he made yesterday that when he got into electoral politics, you know, he was a civil rights guy. He was out there fighting for civil rights. But we're going to juxtapose that clip in this montage with a clip from Biden in 1987 saying, yeah, I knew about the civil rights movement, but I had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Okay. But here are the two clips contradicting each other. Clip 23.
I got involved when I was a kid in electoral politics out of the civil rights movement.
During the 60s, I was, in fact, very concerned about the civil rights movement. I was not an activist. I worked at an all-black swimming pool in the east side of Wilmington, Delaware. I was involved. I was involved in what they were thinking, what they were feeling. I was involved, but I was not out marching. I was not down in Selma. I was not anywhere else.
And that's Biden in 1987. But Biden in 2024 says he got arrested with Nelson Mandela. Okay, he got his start teaching at an HBCU, none of which is actually true.
This guy will say anything.
And one of the reasons he'll say anything is the media doesn't push back. Here's Biden today at the White House announcing that $95 billion just got shipped over to Ukraine. A little bit for Israel, which is good. And of course, nothing for you and me here in America. But anyway, here's Biden at the White House saying there are reports of cheers from the trenches in Ukraine when the White House passed the aid bill, as if people shelling each other with mortar fire are watching C-SPAN. Do you understand, guys? I mean, dude.
The man is insane. He's not responsible for himself.
Listen to this clip. It's clip 24.
This weekend, the reports, I find this amazing.
Me too.
The reports of cheers breaking out of the trenches in eastern Ukraine probably came from one of your folks, a reporter or someone. I'm not sure where it came from. But that they're cheering as they watch the House vote in support for Ukraine. It's not like they don't understand what we've done. Not like they don't understand how critical this is for them.
I mean, come on. They must have been watching the House vote in the trenches, is what he said.
You are so full of shit.
But did the media actually push back and be like, hey, that's not even possible?
The answer would be no.
No, nor did they push back on anything I'm about to play you in this montage. Listen to this, clip 25.
My uncle both Ambrose J. Finnegan, he flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. And he got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea. I, like an awful lot of people in this audience, was the first in my family to go to college and watch my dad struggle to help me get there and get all the kids there. I remember one of the conductors when I was going home, and Ange came up to me as I walked in. He said, Joey, and he grabbed my cheek. He said, Joey, baby. And he said, all this stuff, because I just published in the newspaper that I had traveled 1,200,000 miles on Air Force planes. You know how many miles you traveled on Amtrak? And I said, no. He said, 1,000,000. Ground Zero in New York. And I remember standing there the next day and looking at the building. I felt like I was looking through the gates of hell. It looked so devastating.
You're a liar.
And you know why you call him a liar in that moment? Because he wasn't at Ground Zero the next day.
Correctamundo.
Wasn't there. So, you know, his uncle getting eaten by cannibals, the White House and the Pentagon, didn't happen. Okay. The claim in Wisconsin, I was the first guy in my family to go to college, didn't happen. Okay. The Angelo, the conductor story, didn't happen. The 18-wheeler story, didn't happen. The I was involved in the civil rights movement, didn't happen. According to him. Okay. That's who Biden is. Here is 1987. Joe Biden getting forced to drop out of a race for lying.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
Newsweek says Biden actually went to school on a half scholarship, ended up near the bottom of his class, and won only 1 degree, not 3.
Joe Biden ranked 76th in a class of 85 at the University of Syracuse Law School. I mean, this guy comes off this whole thing as a flyweight.
Now Biden says Newsweek is right. His memory had failed him.
And I'd be delighted to sit down and compare my IQ to yours if you'd like, Frank.
Joe Biden was victimized by the truth.
Bye-bye Biden. He may not know it yet, but I think this is going to be very difficult for him to recover.
Is Joe Biden dead meat, yes or no?
I think so.
That was 1987. By the way, he was claiming in 1987 that his memory failed him. If it was failing him in 1987, can you imagine what it's doing nearly 40 years later?
This could be a problem.
It's a big problem. Okay, the president is delusional and he's full of and that's not good. But the media, they really don't want to report on this. Okay, to the extent that they could, they swept the cannibal thing right under the rug. Yo, the Pentagon, understand the Pentagon, people run the military. We're like, yeah, you know, the guy's uncle didn't get shot down by cannibals or eaten. He was not even a pilot. He was a passenger in a plane that ditched at sea. Okay, and that's not good. We're not happy that happened to the president. But you understand the guy in charge of the whole entire military is getting fact-checked by the military. The White House also having to say, oh, by the way, this didn't happen. But rather than having this conversation, we're just like, well, Trump paid a stripper by check, and he should have paid her in singles. Okay, that's some kind of a violation. I know it's 10 years old, and the president has dementia today, but we should really look into this thing from 10 years ago. Like, do you get what's going on here, man? It's not good for the country. It's not good for the country. Okay, I think citizen journalism is good. I think social media is good. I think the fact that you have access to so much information is good. But sadly, because we have so much partisan pugilism, everybody just wants to beat the other side. Okay, it's denying us a full-scale conversation about the issues we're facing in the country that matter the most. Like the border being open, that really matters the most. Okay, 10 million people have gotten in. 10 million people. Okay, we can't afford it. It's not safe for them. A lot of them are being smuggled into the country by human traffickers. It's not safe for us because we have a record level of fentanyl poisoning deaths, like 10 million people coming into the country, really bad. Overcrowding classrooms in inner cities, where overcrowding was already the biggest issue facing schools, aside from the fact that nobody can read or write, but enough about the teachers. Okay, the point is, I kid, it's a mess. Okay, you look at inflation, the fact that it costs 23% more at the grocery store, that's a mess. Gas is 50% more, that's a mess. And you want to dig out of this hole, but then you're told that the guy who's in charge of digging us out of this hole is a former 18-wheeler driver. That didn't happen. Civil rights pioneer. That didn't happen. Okay. Somehow listening to cheers from the battle trenches in Ukraine. That didn't happen. His uncle was eaten by cannibals. That didn't happen. He didn't meet an Amtrak conductor when he was vice president. That didn't happen. And oh, by the way, he lied at being at Ground Zero the next day. Okay. There's a reason 80% of the country thinks we're headed in the wrong direction. And it's not January 6th, and it's not whether Stormy Daniels got paid by check when everybody knows you're supposed to bring cash into the champagne room. Okay? The reason we're headed in the wrong direction is we got a guy in the Oval Office that has no idea what direction he's going in.
You know, the rapidly rising
You're listening to the hottest show in the country.
Our country is in serious trouble.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla. Heading back out on tour. This week, I got to go down to D.C. I'm hosting my TV show for 2 hours live from the White House Correspondents' Center. I'll be on the red carpet from 9 to 11 Eastern. You can check me out in action. It's going to be wild. It's going to be really nuts. I'm actually pretty pumped up for that one. And then we're heading down to Orlando. If you're listening on WDBO down in Orlando, I am spending Mother's Day with my mom, Jenny's mom, Judy, my mom, Marianne Fela, all coming down to Orlando on Mother's Day. I'm doing a 5 p.m. show at the Plaza Live on Mother's Day. So if you're looking for something like unconventional outside the box, it's actually probably a pretty funny way to spend Mother's Day. I've never been to a stand-up show on Mother's Day, let alone performed in one. But we will be bringing you a wild time in Orlando. If you want tickets, it is foxacrossamerica.com. Following week, we're up in Boston at the Schubert Theater. That is Saturday night, May the 18th. You can catch us in Boston at the Schubert. That is very much an away game. Okay, as you know, Boston is an overwhelmingly liberal city. These are the people that elected Elizabeth Warren. Remember, Trump would call her Pocahontas. It was one of the funniest Trump nicknames. And do you remember when, like, they used to get mad at you? They're like, don't say that. That's, like, insensitive. Okay, making fun of her for pretending to be Native American is not insensitive. It is not cruel. Okay, you know what's cruel? You know what's insensitive? You know what's a scam? You know what's not right? Her faking Native American heritage to get ahead in life. I mean, and that's the biggest scam of the whole thing, is everybody wants to tell you we're this big racist, intolerant hellhole. But we're so racist and we're so intolerant that people are faking minority status because it gives them a better chance of getting ahead.
I think he's got a point.
Isn't that amazing? Oh, we're all so racist and big. You know, meanwhile, back at the ranch, they all want to be part of what they claim to be the oppressed group. Total scam. Anyway, we'll get into it. Emily Campagno is coming by. I am building towards a hypothesis that you'll catch at the end of the third hour. Buckle up, Buttercup. We're back after this. Oh, they're playing Cool in the Gang. It's too hot. It's the mellow song. They're trying to keep the tensions down between me and our next guest. You know, things get a little heated when she's in studio. She's the human happy hour, but she doesn't always play nice in the sandbox with our host. You know her as a co-host of Outnumbered, the host of the Fox True Crime Podcast, Emily Campagno, in the house today. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
They don't know this. Do you remember the whole car song, Who's Going to Drive You Home Tonight? In a roundabout way, I'm going to drive you home tonight.
I know, it's going to be so great.
They don't know this, but we're going to be out filming in our taxi tonight. You know how when you watch Fox News Saturday night, you'll see me driving around in the taxi from time to time? Somebody decided it was a good idea to let me and Emily drive around and record the conversation we have. I can't promise you this is going to be airable, but I'm excited to shoot it.
The only way it's going to work is that it's not live.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like beep for like 25 minutes, and then it'll have us laughing at the end. That's a wrap, folks.
You know what they should do if they were smart? They should make, you know, instead of the traditional beep, like when you curve on the air, you know, like that, they should just make it be the car horn. Because
yes.
Then people would just think like we were in traffic or something.
Totally.
And then it would look class. Go ahead. You take it away.
Did you hear how New York just passed or is about to pass another law that makes it that the speed limit here is going to be 20?
Oh, stop it.
Dude, it is already. The reason I walk everywhere, including to and from work, which is why I'm so excited for the ride home tonight, is that it's sort of faster than even taking a car because traffic is so thick and snarled because full lanes are dedicated to buses only that are like totally empty and
bikes.
Yes.
Bikes that all have motors, by the way. They're like, no, it's good for the environment. We'll get bicycles in here.
Totally.
Every one of them has a motor.
And then I got pulled over by a cop for being on a bike and going, I guess I was in the opposite bike lane direction. I mean, whatever. This city is a mess. So
DUI.
All we got to do is just wear our seatbelts and we'll be good to go.
Hey, girl, well, the way we drive, that seatbelt ain't going to save you. We're going for it tonight. No, I kid, but
we'll like park and not go anywhere. We're going to be like that scene in The Lost Boys where he turns on the car and he's like, we're going to town. And then like, don't leave the garage.
No, don't go anywhere. That's the issue. Do you remember when Prince Harry and Meghan Markle famously got laughed at by New Yorkers? Because they were like, we got a high-speed chase in New York. We're like, no, you didn't.
Yes.
What do you mean?
The only time I high-speed anywhere here is on a city bike when I get the electrical kind going the wrong direction on traffic snarled streets. The only time you go faster than 30.
Yeah, you're not going 20. Anywhere. But anyway, thanks for the new speed limit, New York. But what they do there is they just throw that in so they can red light cam us and speed cam us because that's what happens. Because that's what, you know what they did? This is a genius move, and I know this happens to people around the country, okay, that have the cameras, is what they did in New York along the Long Island Expressway, because there's so much traffic, is a lot of people lose their minds, get off, and take the service road. So they put speed cameras all over the service road because they know everyone pulling off the highway is flooring it because they're just losing. They're like, I can't take it. And they fly. And now they get a third. It's a 30 mile an hour ticket.
You know what's so funny about that, too? Mm-hmm. So the other day I was coming home from the airport here. We took the usual way from Newark through, you know, you go through like the neighborhood. So essentially the equivalent of a frontage road off the highway. And it wasn't Uber, but the other one, which is Lyft.
Yep.
Was so concerned that we had gotten off the like beaten path.
Thought you were kidnapped?
Yeah, kept texting me. Like, text this, you know, click here if you're not okay, click here if you're not okay. And then the next day I get an email and it's like, we registered that you never made it home. Like, are you alive? Like, email us. And I was like, these guys are great. But I was like, no, man, we're just avoiding traffic.
We registered that you never made it home. So we're reaching out a day later.
Totally. I thought it was awesome, though, man. Uber would be like, you got kidnapped, that's an extra $20.
Yeah, yeah. You know they
Lyft all the way.
Yeah, you know how they have Uber X? I always say, like, they should have one called, it's just called Uber X Con. You know, straight up, because it's half of who's driving you anyway. There's a lot of that out there. Emily Campagno's in studio. We're excited about it. We both hate the news cycle right now, so we're trying to boost each other's spirits. Because it's gross. It's anti-Semitic protests. The president's down in court. Biden, you didn't do this on Outnumbered. You guys were covering his exaggerations, you know, the 18-wheeler and everything, and I don't want to get bogged down in that. But I had just covered it on the show, and as a second before we came back from commercial, he was given a speech where he accidentally read the stage direction, where he goes, 4 more years, pause. And do we have that yet, Josh? Josh will play it for you.
Yes.
Listen.
Imagine what we can do next. 4 more years, pause.
4 more years.
Pause. 4 more years. 4 more years.
4 more years, pause, is what the man said. Not ideal.
I mean, that sound encapsulates the state of this country as of 3 years ago, frankly. I don't understand why, you know, clearly when I hear that, the resounding 4 more years after, there is clearly a hype man that is forcing the audience to comply. You hear when you see these things live or when you get these playbacks where there's nervous laughter after his, you know, I hate the word gaffe, after his blatant lies or his missteps, his miscalculations, his miswords, all of that. Like, no one, if you're in person and someone says that, I mean, I think there's a reality, there's a dynamic of presentation. You know, if you and I are sitting here, we're just talking and you're like, you say, I'll be like, oh, you mean this, or I got, you know, no problem, whatever. But the second someone's on a stage and presenting, what do?
Yeah.
You know, you just sort of sit there and take it. And I think that is partly what feeds into this, is that no one is going to stand up and be like, what are you talking about? That's a lie. Stop saying that.
The late, great Gary Coleman. He used to go, what you talk about, Willis?
Yes.
We need that guy.
Yes.
I mean, you think about like last week, okay, the cannibal thing happens. Yeah, my uncle got eaten by cannibals. The White House, what they do is they have to pretend like he didn't say, well, what he meant to say. I don't know what he said, what he meant to say. He said his uncle got eaten by cannibals. Like, no, they're just trying to draw attention to his support of veterans. He was trying to support veterans. We don't believe the last president did. So one of the ways you support veterans is by telling them your uncle got eaten by cannibals.
Like, I don't know. What kills me is that this president has been whitewashed with some type of endearing brush. I find him nothing of the kind. I find all of those callous remarks totally racist, completely like prejudiced, so callous to the point of massive, just offensive statements, right? And, like, the president of Papua New Guinea said, like, sort of like, bro, what are you doing? And he was the one who had such a grace to say, I would love to have America come get the World War II remains and honor these veterans as they should be. I mean, if our president had a modicum of that, not only sanity, but that kind common sense, man, we'd be in a different place. But instead, for some reason, the other former president is being prosecuted and vilified as some type of village beast. This president gets to call someone breakfast tacos. You ain't black. All this between him and his wife, I'm supposed to take it?
Yep.
Like, when is someone going to put the mirror to this White House and say, actually, bro, the most racist, homophobic, prejudiced, callous person ever is actually that one?
That guy. Now, to be clear, though, one point of defense. Emily Campagna's in studio. They did put a mirror to the White House. It was a cocaine mirror. Hey, there it is. Good night, everybody. Woo! We got a million of them. There it is. Pow. Emily's in studio.
Would you rather have to go on a road trip with President Biden or Hunter Biden?
Hunter Biden?
No drugs. He doesn't have any drugs. You can't have any fun. Just sitting there, just, sullen.
Does he have pants?
Pouty.
Because I've seen a lot of Hunter.
Yeah, totally. He's not wearing a shirt.
Hunter's got a weird
pants on.
He's got. You think I have a weird wardrobe? At least I have a wardrobe. Okay. He doesn't have a wardrobe.
Pants.
Yeah, it's weird.
You have to pick.
So that. Well, listen. That I would say Biden because he's probably gonna. Assuming I can drive. Because you don't want him driving, obviously.
Yeah, he's in your shotgun.
Yeah, yeah. So Biden riding shotgun, fine. He's going to doze off.
Yeah.
He's going to tell you a couple of funny stories. Because you know what the president is, and I'll tell you this, okay? This is truth. This is real taxi wisdom. So a lot of old men that would get into taxis, and they would tell you stories that they thought you'd be really excited to hear. And they lose their confidence in the story as it goes on because they realize it's inching towards a payoff that has no point. So they would tack on something sensational at the end. So, like, for real, you drive a guy like, yeah, you know, I went to Coney Island in 1939. I was on the Cyclone 7 times and went to the parachute jump 5. And you're like, huh? And he goes, and that was the night I met Joe DiMaggio. You're like, wait a minute.
Where did the aliens landed in the backyard.
Wait a minute. That's an add-on. He was not setting. That was an add-on.
Don't know if that's true.
And the president does that.
He's totally.
Like, yeah, Uncle Bozy, you know, World War II. And, cannibals. No, cannibals ate him. No, not a joke. Cannibals ate him.
He also has the Slick Rick add-ons that he's perpetually in the 50s, which is like, for real.
No.
I'm not lying.
Yeah, yeah.
One more. I'll say it again. I mean it. Like, it's really the regression, as also sometimes the elderly reflect. It's like he peaked, you know, 20 years ago, if you call that peaking. So he now is reflecting who he was in 1950.
Yeah.
Using those phrases, you know, that sort of like he's totally.
He's
regressed.
A cover band of his last senient version of himself.
Yes.
That's what it is. You hold on to mannerisms. My late great uncle Sonny had one of those. So he would just drop sayings into conversations that didn't belong. But it was at times, you know, it's sad, but it was also funny. So I'll tell you the great one. The last time Lincoln saw my uncle Sonny, he just thought it was the funniest thing in the world. We're just randomly ordering breakfast at a diner. And I don't know where this came from. But he's like, you know why your Aunt Fran couldn't get into Canada? Now, we weren't talking about Aunt Fran. I don't know where Canada came from. I don't know that I've ever discussed Canada with this man. He's like, you know why Fran couldn't get into Canada? She had no class. She had no class, but it was funny because we weren't having this conversation. He obviously loved his sister. He didn't know what he meant by it, but he had a mannerism. And I see Biden deploy that sometimes in conversation. He'll throw something at you that fits into a conversation he's had in his head in the past that he just injects into this one.
Well, yeah.
That's where like the 18-wheeler story comes from.
That's also
he's told it before and been fact-checked on it.
Right.
Uh-huh. But he got used to campaigning in rooms. This is part of the issue. It's like if you were campaigning in the 70s, what you said in the room stayed in the room. They couldn't record it and carry it forward.
Right.
So you could say 18-wheeler. You could say cannibals. It wasn't going to catch up to you. He campaigns like he doesn't know we have recorders.
One, clearly also dementia. And two, that there was never accountability for it. So to that point, not only is he stuck back in that era where there's no recording, but no one ever said, actually, you weren't the first person to graduate college in your family. So stop saying that. Actually, you didn't. You know, there's a million stories. Like, stop it.
Listen,
stop saying it. No one says that.
No, he got arrested with Nelson Mandela. That's like the greatest one I've ever. I'm like, wait, how is this okay? But it's not okay.
And we get written up in Mediaite if I say like a past participle instead of an adjective. And he he can go on saying, I mean, it just kills me. I just
Emily.
Zero tolerance for this
Emily
crap.
Campagno in studio.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
The human happy hour is here.
Dude, I need a shot.
Yeah, the human happy hour is here, folks. Gotta love you.
You've got to get mad.
There she is. But we laugh. But Friday night. Friday night, all bets are off. We'll be in D.C. this weekend. We're going to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I have to cover that live on TV for 2 hours.
That's
going to
be amazing.
It'll be hot. I'm excited.
Stuck inside eating.
That's what you should
I'll
be doing.
I'll be at the dinner.
That's what you should be doing.
I'll be
you
with go, the team. I got to be with the team.
You go eat. You hang with the team. It'll be
I'll
great.
I'll save you a steak.
No. They'll feed me because the all the red carpet stuff happens like before we sit down. And then when I'm live from 9 to 11, it's basically like you guys will be in there. I'll just be like keeping away from the bar, I think is what's happening.
What's funny is that you're going to be the one that like actually, because you know, Biden's going to be a million hours late like always. Mm-hmm. He has no respect for time. And I'm sure he's looking around for his whatever. But so you're probably going to get like the funniest. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to have like a one-on-one with Biden as you're outside in the hallway.
He's
going
to accidentally wander up to me and start his presentation.
The rest of us are going to be in the ballroom part. You're going to be outside the live shot and he's going
to
like.
Listen, last year I went out to do a hit with Fox at the end of the dinner from the hey, this is what's going on. And him and his detail just came barreling out of the room. It was crazy.
No way. It was
really crazy.
Did you see his platform shoes?
I did not see his I didn't see like the balance shoes that he wears. I just saw a man being like kind of like his feet were off the ground carried because they're in a rush.
Yes.
And he obviously doesn't move at their pace.
Yes.
So that's what I saw. It was fascinating to see.
Like a quick arrest.
Yes.
Quick exfil.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the
hit.
President. I mean, could be any of those.
You just don't know. But they'll shoot him up with whatever they shot him up with at the State of the Union. He'll do fine. Like he read fine last year. We were there. You didn't stay all the way for a speech. Yeah, I did. And he did fine. But he, like, again, when they put him in front of a prompter, absent him reading the stage direction, as you just did in this clip, he can usually stick with it. Like the State of the Union. Do I think they jacked him up with something? Probably.
Yes.
Because he was peppy.
Did you see his pupils, man?
I know. They almost killed him on national
TV. Give me a sobriety test on the walk. I mean,
So the answer is, you know, who would I rather take a road trip with? That guy. That guy would get out and jog alongside the car.
That's true.
The guy who can't normally take the big boy steps on Air Force One at the State of the Union, he's doing one-arm push-ups in between lines.
But then you get all shouty.
Yeah,
I hate when people shout.
I know, but that's another thing.
I don't like that.
That happens to people who have, like, an energy spasm because they're doped up on something.
I gotta get it out! Burst and this and ha, 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 and then passes out.
And it doesn't make sense.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true and international effort to pressure.
So he got excited, but he didn't have a word. Emily Campagno, everybody.
We
gotta
get put me out of my
misery. We gotta end this for her own good. We love you, pal. We'll see you tonight.
Love you guys.
There
all right,
she
see you
goes.
Tonight.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
A show so good, it's hard to describe.
It's not a matter of,
it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
You know, so,
there it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Greg Stube coming by from the great state of Florida. In the next hour, we will close the show with a societal hypothesis. I was doing some thinking in the car this morning.
That can't be good.
No, it wasn't good, but I'll share it at the end of the day. I'm giving you real taxi treatment today. The way things used to work in a taxi, people get into your cab, you know, and it's the original social media. Somebody gets in and like, hey, did you see this thing the mayor was doing? You know, what a bunch of bull, you know, and then you're like, I didn't think of it that way. And then you share it with the next passenger. And then, you know, he gives you an opinion and you evolve your take over the course of, 30 or 40 conversations you might have that day. And sometimes in between those conversations, you're driving around in an empty cab thinking about what was said or thinking about what you're doing with your life. And you come up with ideas. You come up with an hypothesis. You're like, I got it. This is what we should do. This is the idea. You know, this is the move. Okay, that's all I ever did as a cab driver. I was a showbiz prospector with my buddy Dean Imperial. We were writing screenplays. We were producing comedy shows. Just running around the country trying to break into this crazy-ass industry. It's nuts. I mean, I think I've told you the story before, but where I met my buddy Dean, okay, it's my most trusted creative confidant anywhere in showbiz. I met him handing out comedy tickets in Times Square next to the Marriott Marquis Hotel. That's where we met all the way back in 2001, which is pretty psychotic, but that's where it was. And all these years later, when I got my TV show, we were on the giant billboard above that corner where we met, which is kind of mind-blowing when you really think about that, that we stood under that billboard for millions of hours, handed out comedy tickets, and one day got out of bed and were on the billboard. I mean, it only took like 22 years. No big deal other than that. You know, when somebody says you're an overnight success, what they really mean is you were working the overnight shift until people finally heard of you.
He knows what he's talking about.
Do I ever? Do I ever? But anyway, in the next hour, some of that wisdom we acquired on the street corner, whether it was driving by in a taxi, standing there on foot handing out tickets, or maybe even staring up at my big fat airbrushed face on the billboard, it will build to a conclusion. We will share it with you to close the show today. But right now, as we round out the hour, I'm thinking about what Emily was saying about Biden and the fact that nobody really holds a mirror up to the White House. Like, guys, you can't imagine how not normal it is. Like, people would say, oh, it's not normal that we have a president like Trump who talks so much smack on Twitter. Fine. But the guy always talked smack, whether he was on a microphone or a TV show or a radio show. That's who he was. OK, the smack was organic to the character. OK, what he wasn't doing is telling stories about cannibals eating his family. OK, or jobs he didn't hold, or arrests with Nelson Mandela. The point is, you know, when you look at the current president,
Biden's lost his marbles.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, you bet it is. And we are back in action, fired up to bring you an embarrassment of radio riches. I am talking about Florida Congressman Greg Stube, who stops by with a mop to clean up the mess they're making in the House of Representatives. We'll get you up to speed on the Trump trial. And, of course, more anti-Israel protests breaking out around the country. If you're listening on KLBJ out in Austin, Texas, congratulations. They're now protesting at the University of Texas right there in Austin. It really is just such an embarrassing spectacle. I mean, dude.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
I know a lot of people feel that way. But we, being an audio safe space for cool people, are not here to make enemies, okay? This is a fun fact a lot of people forget in this day and age. We're all teammates in this country. If there was a war tomorrow, okay, we are technically all on the same side.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
I mean, maybe not some of these protesters, but most of us are on the same side. We still root for the country, that whole thing.
Freedom!
Okay, and on this show, that's all we're really ever doing. Just a good old-fashioned talk show. You can agree, you can disagree. It's America, man. Remember E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one? Okay, that's what we're doing on this show. I'm conservative up front, I'll be honest with you. But I don't care how you vote, and I don't want to be in charge of how you vote. I'm a mess. Have you seen me on TV?
That boy is a P-I-G pig.
Whatever. I will be on your TV for 2 hours this Saturday night. I am hosting my TV show, Fox News Saturday Night, live from the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I will be there from 9 p.m. Eastern to 11 p.m. Eastern. So it'll be me, some of the biggest names on Fox News, a lot of celebrities who walk the red carpet. And then you'll see Joe Biden, who actually gets up to the microphone at some point. And, you know,
God save the Queen, man.
Those inspiring words. The God save the Queen thing. He was only off by 2 years on that one. But as we move forward on this show, okay, we're not going to be talking as much about Biden's cognitive state as we are the state of the country, because here's a news flash, and I don't think I'm breaking news by telling you this. The country right now is just a tremendous mess.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, we're sitting here in an America where 80% of the population thinks we're headed in the wrong direction. 80% of America think we're going the wrong way. Okay, understand that's not good. So when I get on the air, when I start talking about the things that are happening, all I'm really trying to do is create a world where everybody listening understands that we benefit, okay, by that rising tide that lifts all boats, okay? Right now, the tide isn't rising, and they're blaming climate change. I mean,
what can I tell you, kid? You're right. When you're right, you're right. You're right.
Okay, there's just this constant battle being waged to repurpose everybody else's words, whether it's the president saying his uncle got shot down by cannibals, and they're like, no, he didn't mean to say his uncle got shot down by cannibals. He was just talking about, you know, the need to support veterans. And
that is offensive, and it is not true.
But that's what they do when we're talking about Colombia. And they're like, no, these are peaceful protesters. And they're so peaceful, we've been forced to cancel class because nobody's safe on campus. I mean, that's what they're telling us. They're peaceful protesters.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
And when it comes to the Trump trial, they're telling you with a straight face, this is, you know, no one is above the law, okay? We've got to bring these charges because no one is above the...
Democrats are so full of crap.
Dude, Trump is on trial right now. I'll say this every time we bring it up. Like Trump, hate Trump, don't matter. He's a billionaire. He's got a supermodel wife.
Hubba, hubba.
Okay, guy's doing fine. It's going to be fine. He was a president. He's going to be fine. Okay, but understand this, whether you like him or you hate him. You understand he's on trial right now for an alleged campaign violation he committed two elections ago, meaning they could have tried him for this in the 2016 election. They could have charged him for this in the 2020 election. Okay. Did they do either? But now they find themselves, as we head into the 2024 election, trying to prop up an incumbent who's in charge of a country that 80% of the people think is headed in the wrong direction. Whether we're talking about the policy at the border, whether we're talking about the monetary policy and how it affects inflation, or we're talking about, oh, I don't know, foreign policy.
Of Putin's kleptocracy. Yeah. Kleptocracy. The guys who are the kleptocracies.
Oh, man, not good.
I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental fitness.
The guy's a mess. But the point is, when you know that to be the case, and you get on the air as like a radio host who cares, like I'm new enough to care, okay? Like I'm mindful of the impact I'm having on you as a listener.
Are you stupid or something?
No. It's weird. I don't look at this as like a paycheck job. You look at it as like, hey, you're reaching so many people. You meet so many people when you're on tour. And they tell you like where they listen or how they listen or maybe how something affects them. And knowing that to be the case, you always want to be like a force multiplier of positive energy because you have to look back on this someday and you really have to assess the job you did. Okay, I mean, you might say on paper I've done a good job because the show is probably 10 times the size as it was when it started. So maybe by that metric, this is a successful show. Okay, but understand, I don't define success in growth alone, because if I was succeeding, but I was, you know, completely full of I wouldn't be able to feel good about that success. I don't want to be a wedge. I don't want to be something that is dividing the country. And that's what we kind of cater to on the show. It's the people who get it. The people who are aware of their unique American privilege. One of the reasons you have American privilege is because traditionally prior generations protected a greater good. Okay, we all agreed, say, that the border was a problem, which is why Democrats voted for border wall funding. They did it twice. They did it under Barack Obama. They did it under George W. Bush. Then when Trump ran for president on Build a Wall, they were like, we should be building bridges and not walls.
That was embarrassing.
Of course it was, because they were completely abandoning prior principle. Okay, we've become so transactional as a society. And because of that, because nothing matters, there's no common culture. It's my biggest argument about late night, is late night used to be where people put their political differences aside. Now there's not a show out there that offers them that besides mine. Okay, my Saturday night show, we book probably as many liberals, if not more liberals, than Republicans. Because here's a newsflash, they're comedians. And nobody cares what their politics are. If you're a comedian, you're just supposed to be funny.
Bingo.
Comedian's supposed to make you laugh. Strippers are supposed to make you randy. Okay, nobody wants a stripper's opinion on the border crisis, which is a shame because she probably knows a lot about family separation. Okay, but as we move forward. Okay, one of the biggest challenges we are facing right now when you talk about American privilege is that a lot of the things that hold us together, like faith in the judicial system, flying out the window right now, flying out the window. Okay, when you see Trump getting charged for something that three prior district attorneys decided not to charge him for, but this guy comes in and decides to charge him by tying it to a federal crime that they can't even list in the indictment because they don't have one.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
If you're watching that, you go, oh, I get it. This is a scam. Okay, the redacted memo yesterday that details the run-up to the raid on Mar-a-Lago and how Jack Smith and the Documents Committee at the National Archives were actually engaged in a very routine document assessment situation with an ex-president that's beyond common, that's intensely more precarious for a one-term president because they usually leave, okay, under some type of quick duress. I mean, you have an election, you lose, get out. okay? A two-term president knows at the beginning of a second term that it's over in 4 years, and those preparations are being made the entire time. You don't have that luxury with a one-term president. Okay, so if you've got stuff to get out of the White House and you're only going to serve one term, you got to get moving.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
He very well may serve one term. Okay, right now, Trump is ahead in 6 of the 7 swing states by significant margins, like 8 points in Georgia. Okay, that really matters because these are the states that determine who makes it into the White House. But what you come to understand is there's been such an effort, to undermine the Trump candidacy. Whether you like him or not, doesn't matter. Okay, I'm not shilling for the Republican Party. They've been a disaster in the House of Representatives. A disaster. Okay, but understand, it's not good. It's not good for the country if people don't believe in the legitimacy of our elections or our judicial system. And everybody on the left who tells you democracy's on the ballot and we're here to protect it are the ones destroying it. They're like, well, you know, democracy's on the ballot. If Trump gets in, he's going to arrest all of his opponents. So what we're going to do is we're going to go out and we're going to arrest our opponents first. That's what the Democrats are doing right now. I mean,
that's not right.
Democracy's on the ballot. The only way we're going to fix it is if we get Trump off the ballot. That's what they're trying to tell you. I mean, dude, are you?
In my opinion, that sucked.
Okay, but that's what they're doing. So when you get on the air on this show, the only thing we're really hoping to do, okay, it's it, is we're just, you know, just trying to downshift. You know, America's been on this playground for a few too many hours now, the playground being social media. Everybody who's ever taken a kid to the playground, everybody, okay, has seen the transformation from, oh my gosh, this is amazing, we're going to the playground, to suddenly they've been on the playground for too long, they're out in the sun, they're hot, they're cranky, and now they're telling on each other, he said he tagged me, he didn't tag me. You know, somebody's crying, somebody's pulling hair. And as a parent, you're like, hey, maybe we need to get off this playground. I'll tell you what, kids, let's go get ice cream. Okay, and that's how it would traditionally work. Okay, but nowadays, you can't get off the playground of social media. Our political differences are amplified every second of the day. You used to disagree with people politically 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and then just not see them for a week or a month or a year at Thanksgiving. Okay, now the guy you disagree with is living in your pocket 24 hours a day, and you want to kill the guy half the, I mean,
I'll break you in half like a little toothpick.
Drives you crazy, okay? It does.
Never hit anyone in anger unless you're absolutely sure you can get away with it.
But the point is, okay, because we're not getting off the playground anymore, we're taking the same issues we always fought over. Always fought over how to fix immigration. Always fought over the Second Amendment. Okay, we never always disagreed on foreign policy, except maybe the aftermath of 9/11, but very few times in prior generations. Okay, maybe, yeah, you could say at the beginning of World War II we agreed. I've certainly had our differences about how we ended World War II, but we agreed on the front end. And you understand that we are now engaging in a new form of coexistence. Okay, what we're fighting over is the same. How we're fighting over it is what's so different now. Okay? Like I said, used to fight over the border, used to fight over the Second Amendment. Okay? But you didn't fight over it on the toilet or on the couch or online at the bank or while you were driving in the car because you didn't have that little digital device in your hands all day that was incentivizing conflict. Okay? If you go on Twitter, it is a fight club for people who don't want to get hit. So if you just log on and you call somebody a jackass, you know, a lot of people who agree with you are going to give you likes. You're going to get digital dopamine. You're going to shoot it right up in your phone. But you're also going to be contributing to like a furthering of the division in this country. So in a perfect world, yes, we could say to all the kids on social media, it's time to go get ice cream. Yeah! But unfortunately, the car got the ice cream truck got carjacked by a migrant street gang. So now everybody's got to go back to playing angry hide and seek.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
I enjoyed it. It was an unbelievably interesting experience.
There it is, Fox Across America, the radio buddy, Jimmy Failla. I'm going to be talking to Florida Representative Greg Stube in the next break. I about the food fight going on in Congress. As more protests are breaking out around the country. It really is the dumbest time has ever been to be alive, man. It's fascinating to report on it day in and day out. Because it's all this, like, there's so much performance art right now. And everybody's like, no, no, it's a good thing. And they, you know, they just want you to be mad at the other party. But, like, man, I harp on this a lot, you guys. And the reason I harp on it so much, you're like, Jimmy, what's with all the harping? You know, why? You always harp.
Why do you do things like that? You're like a crazy person.
I'm very harpy. Very harpy this week. Because all I have is, like, a political persecution and anti-Semitism. Now we got mounted cops on horses in Austin, Texas right now. Our KLBJ listeners might be witnessing some of this up close and personal. Please stay safe out there. Okay. But there's a lot happening. And none of it's good. This is very much, you know, it's an election summer and it hasn't started yet. And I hate that. You know, things are intentionally divisive. So last week when I went out to Fargo, shout out to WZFG, threw a hell of a gig. I do mean this. You know, I perform every weekend on the road. They did such a great job. And I've brought it up probably too many times at this point. Everybody's like,
shut up. Will you shut up?
Okay. But one of the things I did is I was early getting back to the airport on Sunday in Minneapolis. So I drove around downtown where the Near North is, where the George Floyd Square is, where the big mural is, where all the businesses got set on fire. And guess what a lot of them have in common? Pretty much 100% of them. Okay. None of them are back in business. And I said that in summer 20 and I was summer 2020. I was like, dude, you guys don't understand. Like, we're all watching this on TV. It's like almost like this weird form of entertainment. And it looked like a full-on societal collapse. And in those neighborhoods, it was. Because when the carnage ends and the cameras leave town, all of that urban blight stays behind. And all of those jobs are gone. All of those ways to legally make money in that neighborhood are gone. And there is a direct correlation between high rates of violent crime and low rates of economic opportunity. Okay, the intentional racial division of 2020, where they set the country on fire, okay, extracted a massive toll on the very community the Democrats claimed they'd be protecting.
That's just how white folks will do you.
Okay, when you think about the summer of 2020, when the Democrats fought for, advanced lockdowns, because that's what the teachers' unions wanted, okay, black kids suffered. When the Democrats fought to defund the police, the black community suffered. Okay, when the Democrats were bailing out violent protesters like Kamala Harris was doing. The tweet's still up on her feed.
Kamala's awful with her weird laugh. Ha ha!
Every one of those businesses that get burnt down set back the black community. It's a mess, man. And we're doing this right now. Okay, we've got people marching at every college campus in the country saying they're opposing a genocide. And in doing so, they're supporting the gig, the side that's vowing to commit genocide. That's what's going on right now at every college.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
Okay, we won't stop protesting until you divest your investments in Israel. You know, Israel that opposes Hamas, who paraglided in and killed 2,000 citizens and says they won't rest till they've killed every Jewish person. We're anti-genocide, so we're going to support the people vowing to kill every Jew. You know, I mean,
I'm surrounded by idiots.
Weapons grade stupid. That's why I'm harpy, okay? I'm very harpy lately because I'm just seeing such destructive stupidity because we're placating people whose emotions are their facts, okay?
They're crazy.
I'm not crazy. They're stupid. Okay, and I'm tired of it. We're going to talk about it with Greg Stubbe next. The champ's all worked up. There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla fired up to talk to this next guest. It's a superstar representative from the 17th Congressional District of Florida. He is a House Ways and Means Committee member. He is a House Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government member. I am talking about Representative Greg Stubbe. Hey, man.
What's up, Jimmy?
Flashy intro, man. It's like I'm like your hype man now. You know, they have like a guy who comes on before the rapper comes out or whatever.
Yeah, we need like a promo video or something.
Yeah, well, that's funny.
Maybe background, like my walk-up song.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, you're hitting home runs. Are you playing in that baseball game this year?
Yeah, it's June 14th for all your listeners. It's live on Fox Sports and C-SPAN. So I will be on the mound for the Republicans, hopefully the fourth win in a row.
Oh, baby. Listen, the only thing I know for certain is we'll probably get a Kat Kamick pregame dance routine because we always do.
I've missed that. I've been in the bullpen for those. Maybe that's a good thing.
Well, you dodged a bullet. But Kamick, who frequents this show with your buddy Byron Donalds, has been known to engage in some pregame rituals, is all I'll say. Really quick, before we bring on the adult stuff, how's your arm? How you been doing warming up so far?
Good. I pitched at the Sarasota High School practice yesterday, got some bullpen time, and I feel good. Everything's working well. So
sharp.
We've got, a month and a half now? Uh-huh. So
do they have?
So we're in good shape.
I love this. Do they don't have like a pitch clock like Major League Baseball, do they?
No, not in high school.
Okay,
I don't even think they have that. Oh, no, they do have it in college, but it's a little, like a couple seconds longer or
okay.
something.
Well, I only bring it up, and then we can obviously move on to adult, because the Yankees pitcher, Gerrit Cole, won a Cy Young last year. He's pretty good. I mean, obviously, he's not pitching on your level, but he's, pretty good. I kid. But he said the pitch clock is actually bad for pitchers because it's, like, too much torque, and they're not getting, like, a proper recovery period. I know you're not a doctor on this, but could you see where that's a thing?
Well, it is. I mean, it forces you to rush because you're thinking, oh, I only got 15 seconds or 18 seconds or whatever it is. So if you're getting in a groove and as a pitcher, you're thinking a lot about, okay, this guy was up last time. He hit my fastball. This time I want to throw a curveball or a changeup or whatever. So you're walking through that mentally.
Yeah.
And 15 seconds sometimes isn't a lot of time to do that. So you've pushed that decision either to the coaching staff or to your catcher, and you're just executing. But, yeah, it's certainly changed the game. Now, I think a lot of the people watching appreciate the games being, 2.5 hours instead of four.
Yeah.
But from a pitching perspective, it definitely makes you have to make decisions mentally a lot quicker than you normally would.
Yeah, I could see that. We're talking to Florida Representative Greg Stube, just in case there was any confusion. We had Aaron Boone on from the Yankees or something. Listen, so much to get to. The thing that jumped out at me today that we haven't really gotten to on the show is when it comes to the border, I'm listening to Christopher Wray at the FBI say that we're increasingly concerned for the potential of a coordinated terror attack here in America. Like, I feel like we're kind of taking our eye off the ball, to build on what we've been discussing. If this is how the FBI feels, and I don't feel like that's a top 10 discussion anywhere in the country right now.
No, and again, the Joe Biden and the left don't care about the safety and security of the American people. They just care about bringing these people in, giving the ability to vote, and changing the complete demographic of our country. I mean, there's been 357 people that were named on the terrorist watch list that have been let into our country. 18,645 aliens with criminal convictions nationwide or with outstanding warrants from other countries that they've let into our country. We just recently had a constituent who was raped by an illegal immigrant. So it's not just a border state problem. It is an American problem all across the country. And it was very interesting that the director Ray in a hearing would say it out loud.
Yeah.
And his quote was, "We are increasingly concerned about a terror attack on U.S. soil." Why wouldn't we be? Yeah. Look at these numbers too. 48,000 Chinese Communist Party members have been let into our country. 43,000 Russians last year and 8,600 Russians to date. I thought Russia and China were our enemy, and Joe Biden's just letting them into our country. You don't think that those people aren't communicating with one another here in our country and planning some type of attack?
Yeah.
You'd be completely ignorant to think otherwise.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're talking to Florida Representative Greg Stube, and that's the part that drives me nuts. It's like, as a New Yorker, in a post-September 11th world, we were like, all right, never forget, defense wins championships, and we got to stay on top of this. And anyone I've ever interviewed that worked in counterterrorism around that time who comes on this show would tell you that 20 years ago, if you had a guy on the terror watch list or just a guy at the border who wasn't from a landlocked nation, okay, that was like an all-hands-on-deck moment till we got to the bottom of it. So, I mean, I guess my question for you is, I mean, do we even have the capabilities to surveil that many people? Because when you talk about the number of Chinese nationals we're talking about, I don't see how the heck we could even be keeping track of them.
Well, and the Biden administration doesn't want you to have track of them. They're going to put them on buses and planes and ship them all across the country. and they'll get a court date for like a year and a half from now, and then 96% of them don't show up for that, and this administration doesn't do anything to deport them after a judge and a court rules their asylum claim doesn't have a factual basis and orders them to be deported back to their country. And it, I mean, I'll just throw a couple more numbers out there because it's pretty fascinating. When we think about the border, we think about Latin American countries or South American countries, people coming and walking into Mexico. Oh, no. On top of the Chinese Communist Party people and the Russians, we've got 30,000 people from Turkey, 13,000 people from Uzbekistan, 6,000 people from Afghanistan, 3,000 people from Egypt. Hundreds of people from Iran. I could go on and on. I saw an interview where they interviewed this Iranian guy once he'd gotten through the border and said, how did you get here? He's like, oh, it's easy. You take a flight from Iran to Turkey, Turkey to Mexico, and then you walk right in. And so all of our enemies all across the world are seeing this, and they're seeing the vulnerabilities, which is why there's almost 50,000, we're close to 50,000 Chinese Communist Party people since just in the last year or so that have come in the southern border.
Wow, that is nuts. Like, we really have now, the border has become the college bar that doesn't check ID. Is that essentially what you're telling me?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And worse, because these are like criminals and terrorists and rapists that are coming in to wreak havoc in our country.
Yeah, not good. But once the word gets out that you can get in, you know, everybody shows up to that bar. And that's where we find ourselves now. And what's even crazier is I don't doubt that we're subsidizing some of this through NGOs or whatever the heck else we're allocating money towards.
Yeah, and there's a ton of numbers on that, and I don't have those in front of me, but it's fascinating because it's at the local and state level. So let's think it's an illegal immigrant that comes in, he breaks his leg, or he's injured, or it's a woman that's pregnant, she's having a child. Well, of course, they don't have insurance. They show up at the nearest hospital. The ER under law is required to give them aid and health care, and that $100,000, $200,000 bill at the hospital isn't paid by anybody. So it goes into what's called needy care or poor care in the state or in the counties. Like in Sarasota County, they raise like $50 to $60 million in property taxes just to pay for needy care that goes to Sarasota Memorial Hospital. So every county and community is experiencing the cost. And it's not just health care. It's the children going to school under the public school dime, and these people aren't paying taxes. It's the overall impact from the economy that you're seeing all across the country, and it's really hard to break down those numbers and say, oh, it's $1 trillion nationwide, because it's at every level of government that's experiencing having to deal with this crisis.
That's, you know what really gets me on that too, though, is once you start subsidizing stuff like that, as you know, like spending doesn't go down. It's almost impossible to cut any type of that spending because it's always characterized as some type of discrimination or hateful gesture. So I don't actually know how you really get spending under control. Do you look at Mike Johnson and go, this is a guy who wants to control spending?
No. I mean, we just spent $100 billion and we didn't do a pay for. Our rules, the Republican House rules, require you to pay for stuff when you appropriate it. We just spent $100 billion more money without a pay for on top of all the other problems that we have and $34 trillion in debt running a $2.5 to $3.5 trillion deficit. We're just going to give money to foreign countries. I mean, if you're China, and I think this is the first time I've said this out loud, but if you're China and you want to attack the United States, what would be a great plan? Okay, let's say we have the Russians invade Ukraine, the United States dumps almost now $200 billion, gives all our ammo, gives all our weapons, sends our people to Poland. Then you have the Iranians through Hamas attack Israel. We send them our weapons, we send them money, and now we're sitting in a place where all of our money, our weapons, our ammo, and everything are halfway across the world, and we're extremely, extremely vulnerable.
Yeah, it's nuts, man. You know, and you're not wrong to feel that way because everybody here at home, and that's one of the biggest frustrations, like hosting a radio show, is we know there are people in the House of Representatives that have set some rules for the Republican Party that they want to follow and have every intention of following. But it's got to suck on some level to feel like you're also surrounded by guys who aren't pulling their weight when it comes to that. Now, I know, you know, I don't expect, you know, drastic change between now and November, but do you feel like the country as a whole, since we started on sports, I say this about America, because people get down, you know, they think the country's headed in the wrong direction. America right now, it reminds me of when the Lakers in the late 90s had Shaq and Kobe. They were somehow not making the playoffs. They clearly had Hall of Fame talent on the roster. They just needed a coaching change. So were we just in need of some big coaching changes? Is that what you'd characterize it as?
Oh, 100%. And if Trump doesn't win in November, I just fear for another 4 years of what we have dealt with. Yeah. And it's 100% right. Not only the things that he can do from the executive side that President Trump can do, but he will drag the party in the House and the Senate towards his position. Mm-hmm. So all of these, the majority of the majority voted against Ukraine aid. The majority of the majority voted against another mini bus that, you know, provided taxpayer dollars to abortion and LGBTQ centers and all of this. When Trump's president, none of that's going to happen because he's not going to allow that to happen. And all of those squishy Republicans, if you will, that voted for that, aren't going to vote for that because then they would be going against the president and the Republican in the White House. So he will drag people to our direction and America First policies just by virtue of being in the White House.
Yeah, imagine that. Good old, I mean, honestly, like, I think most people listening would even settle for, like, America Third at this point. Because we're not, like, yo, we're not on the medal podium. Like, when you talk about the money being spent and the scenario you described about foreign aid and everything else, it's like you couldn't even make the case that we're America Second or America Third. Like, we're America Participation Trophy under this administration, man. It's a mess.
Yeah, unless you're the transgender male competing in women's sports.
That's
the only way you're overcoming.
The only way to get a medal these days is you got to buy some duct tape and tie them up and get out there and swim. Stubby.
That's right.
Keep working on that cut fastball. We'll talk soon, man. You're the best.
All right. Good to talk to
you. Be well. The great Greg Stubby. There he goes. And away I go to close the show. I have a hypothesis. It was formed this morning in traffic. And I am going to share it to close the show. I don't know whose idea it was, but buckle up because it's after this.
You're listening to the show that Standard & Poor describes as Standard & Poor.
I would say he's incompetent, but I don't want to do that because that's not nice.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
You wanted it. You got it. We were in the bottom of the ninth. On Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. I opened the show today. It's a three-hour odyssey. And I got to be honest, it was a damn good show.
Wrong.
All right, well, it was a pretty good show.
Wrong.
All right, well, I'm not going to debate the control room for the next 10 minutes. Let's get to the main event of the show. I told you off the top, I was driving in this morning. Coming in early. I got to write and, you know, do stuff. I got a stand-up tour. I'm at the White House this weekend for the correspondence dinner. I actually have a lot of cool stuff going on. It's really exciting, man. But as I was listening to the radio and listening to some polling, I formed a hypothesis. This happens to me from time to time. As a former cab driver, you spend a lot of time in between passengers driving around in an empty cab, thinking of things people said to you, thinking of things you want to work on when you get off the shift that day 15 hours later. You know, stuff you hear in passing on the radio, stuff you witness at a stoplight in New York City. But there's all kinds of, you know, there's all kinds of violence and craziness and everything in between. But the point is, during those moments of, you know, mobile introspection, where you're just driving and the wheels are turning on the road and the wheels are turning in your brain and you're really just making a meatball of everything you've come across, you sometimes form a hypothesis. And I, you know, I this might sound insane to you. But as I was looking around today in my brain, I decided the country is not nearly in as bad of a shape as we think it is.
Have you ever had a checkup?
No, I have. Listen, I've seen the polling. Okay, 80% of the country thinks we're headed in the wrong direction. 86% of Americans have concerns about the president's mental faculties.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by... Go, you know the thing.
You know, but the border is overrun, okay? It's bad. 10 million people. Biden let 10 million people into the country.
You have no idea how to defend a nation.
Okay, education is going backwards, as we know.
I love the poorly educated.
Okay, well, that's the good news, okay? Inflation's through the roof. Gas is up 50%. 50% since this guy took office.
Biden is such a disaster.
Okay, but I truly believe it crystallized in my brain on the LIE this morning, Long Island Expressway, between exits 30 and exits 27. Okay, I truly believe this thought formed in my head that we're in much better shape than we realize.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
And this isn't one of those, like, rah-rah patriotic moments where I'm like, well, we're in good shape because we live in America.
Freedom!
Like, that's true. I could make that statement every day that I get on the air. You live in the most prosperous country the world has ever known, the most tolerant and inclusive society the world has ever known. No country has done more to create a level playing field for all races than this one, despite all the claims of, you know, we're racist and systemically biased and everything in between. That's all garbage that's peddled for political gain.
The left weaponizes race whenever they're losing an argument.
Now, I don't sit here with solutions to all the problems I just outlined, but the reason I think we're in better shape is when you look at the polling on the issues, okay, that matter the most in the 2024 election, we actually agree as political parties. I don't mean to a percentage. I just mean the biggest polling issues, okay, are the correct polling issues. The border in immigration is number one. The economy and inflation is number two. Okay, the crime is three. Okay, the educate four. Okay, you know what's not anywhere in that top five anywhere? Climate change. You know what's not in that top five? Telling little boys and girls they're trapped in the wrong body. Okay, you know what's not in the top five? Sending all of our money to Ukraine instead of America. Ergo, okay, I can't solve the problems we're being faced with, but the first step, as they say, the ancient Chinese proverb, is the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. Okay, and in this case, that's apropos, because gas is getting so expensive, a lot of us are going to have to walk instead of driving our car. I'm just saying.
Somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
I'm not trying to make light of our problems. It dawned on me today that as divided as we seem politically, and we are divided, I mean, it is going to be a Rochambeau for the White House this summer.
What the hell did you just say?
You know the South Park bit where they punch each other in the nuts to decide who the winner is? Okay, that is absolutely going to be this election. It is absolutely going to be a food fight. But necessity being the mother of invention, we as a people, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, or everything in between, collectively are identifying the right problems. Doesn't mean there's a plan to solve them. Doesn't mean Washington's going to do our bidding. Okay? But if we get mad enough, they work for us. If we hold them accountable, we are the ones who decide whether or not to employ them. Okay? We are the ones who pull the levers and mail in the ballots 3 weeks after Election Day for some reason. I don't know how that's even possible. The point is the bus can be turned around and we have a lot of solvable problems. So I close the show today claiming with a straight face we're in better off shape than we were in recent vintage.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
I did it, I swear!
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.